Personnel Administration Legislation Committee, Monday, October 22nd, 2018.
I'd like to call to order the Alameda County Board of Supervised Personnel Administration Legislative Committee meeting for Monday, October the 22nd. First update is the federal legislative update. I'm sure a lot is going on this week in Washington, D.C. How's the weather?
You know, the weather is nice. It's finally cooled off and feels like fall. Hi, it's Emily and Patrick this afternoon. The House and Senate are both, you know, out campaigning for the midterm elections. They will return the week of November 13th. This week, the focus is on the administration, and the White House will be holding an event on Wednesday to focus on what they've done to combat the opioid epidemic, and that's where they plan to, or where President Trump plans to sign the bill for the package of opioid-related legislation that passed Congress at the end of September in the House and then beginning of October in the Senate. The big news from this weekend, which I'm sure you all saw, was this idea of the administration wanting to establish a legal definition of sex, defining gender as a biological condition that doesn't change and is determined by genitalia at birth. Right now, it's still kind of unclear how things will move forward, but HHS has called on four agencies that enforce some part of Title IX, so the Departments of Ed, Justice, HHS, and Labor, to adopt its definition in regulation. There are two proposed rules currently under review at OMB. One would be going to the Education Department that deals with complaints of sex discrimination at schools and colleges receiving federal financial assistance, and the other is HHS, which deals with health programs and activities that receive federal funds or subsidies. Both of these regs are expected to be released before the end of the year and would be open for public comment, typically for 60 days. So the idea is that the agencies would include this new definition before issuing the final rule, that of course they'd be open for comment. So we'll keep you posted as to when those NPRMs are coming out. And then Patrick's here, he's gonna talk about prison reform.
Yeah, just a real quick update. Jared Kushner, senior advisor and son-in-law to the president, participated in a panel this morning on CNN related to prison reform. He suggested his interest in prison reform stemmed from his personal experiences after his father served time in federal prison. And he discussed his conversations with the president and his interest in prison reform as well. It's unlikely that prison reform will be considered before the end of the year, but we do expect Congress to address prison reform and sentencing reform early next year. Democrats, as you know, are favored to take back majority in the House and will likely be more willing to compromise on a criminal justice reform package. As you'll recall, over the past year, the Senate wanted to push for a comprehensive criminal justice reform package that included both prison reform and sentencing reform, but the House kind of threw a wrench into those plans and were solely pushing for the prison reform and wanted to leave out the sentencing reform part of it. But we do expect in the next Congress, with the Democrats in charge, that they'll be more willing to compromise and include both sentencing and prison reform.
And I would just add, Supervisor Carson, you know from your conversations with Senate Judiciary staff for Senator Feinstein, the Republicans in the Senate, particularly Senator Grassley, chair of the Judiciary Committee, has been very focused on moving it as a package, both sentencing and prison reform together. And so they feel like he will work with Democrats to reach that deal next year.
So how much time did he serve in prison, and where did he serve? Where did he serve in terms of prison?
I can get back to you on that.
Yeah, please include that in the notes.
Okay.
I know when Michael Milken went to prison, he was in Pleasanton. So, okay. Anything else?
That's it.
Okay, thanks very much.
I have a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Is the UN, do you think the UN is going to intervene in the Mexican
caravan?
Yeah, the caravan situation.
I honestly don't know.
They should.
I'm just not certain that they're quite there.
Okay, so it's just going to continue to be this divisive.
I think honestly, that's what the administration is looking right now, leading up to the midterms.
Yeah. Okay.
Are there any other questions? Okay, thank you. I'll move over to state legislative update.
Hey everyone, Teresa Cook here. Obviously the focus here remains largely on the elections, especially when you're inside the Capitol, but for all of us, obviously a lot of attention being paid to the initiatives just about a couple days, over 2 weeks out, and there's been a lot of press activity about a couple of them. Specifically, it looks like Prop 6 will be defeated, so SB1 will stay in place. But on the flip side, not looking very good for Proposition 10, the rent control initiative. Most of us who are vote by mail have already sent our ballots back, but I have to keep in mind there's still a very large percentage of the population that votes stay up. And so obviously as mailers and commercials and things like that heat up, there's always a chance that, you know, this could sway the other way. Shifting the focus very quickly over to the 2020 ballot, it seems like for the last couple Mondays that we've been together, you know, we briefly talk about the election in November, but then there always seems to be news happening for the ballot 2 years from now. Obviously, this week is no exception. As many of you probably saw, the split roll initiative has qualified for that ballot 2 years from now. This is a very, very big priority for the labor community, trying to change the taxation of commercial properties, but not doing anything to change the way that residential properties are taxed. It's important just for us to keep in mind that this initiative that has secured a place on the 2020 ballot is considered a constitutional amendment. And so when we think about opportunities for the legislature or the business community or labor to try to do some sort of negotiation or alternative or compromise in the weeks or months leading up to the 2020 election, like they did several months ago with some of the initiatives that we were going to be voting on in November, there's not a lot of options in terms of the legislature's ability to modify the Constitution. Obviously, voter approval is required. So just, you know, be aware of that, but I still would not be surprised if the fact that this item is has secured placement on the 2020 ballot, doesn't change a lot of activity by the legislature, be it informational hearings or, other negotiations that take place, within labor and business community in the legislature. With that, I will turn it over to Gianna to talk about some MPLH and HCD stuff that's come up.
So, yeah, a couple updates coming out of the Housing and Community Development Department. One being the No Place Like Home program. As you might recall, back in August, HCD announced the non-competitive allocation funding for the No Place Like Home program. That'll be awarded on a rolling basis, for the next couple of years. note that this is contingent upon Proposition 2 passing in November. And just last week, they announced the competitive portion of No Place Like Home program, which is $400 million proposed in round one. And so, let's see when these are due. So the applications for this will be due on January 15th, 2019. And according to HCD, they expect to award the make award announcements in June of 2019. So it's coming up on us very quickly. And all indication is that Proposition 2 should pass. But if it doesn't, for some reason, HCD will post a notice on their website regarding the availability of funds for the No Place Like Home program. And then in